Welcome everyone to That's So Bro, episode number 4, where we are going to talk about
stress.
Something that we all experience, something that we all may enjoy and may not really enjoy. Do you enjoy it, Amanda?
I love stress.
Really?
Yep.
In your field, where do you feel stressed the most?
Especially when it comes to ramp walks and stuff, because there's so much riding on you, and that has happened to me where I was supposed to be number 6 and I forgot to go and somebody had to fill in at that spot. So for that reason, I now pay extra attention when it comes to what my number is and what second I'm supposed to walk in. And now I write every segment twice on a piece of paper and then I read that until I go up on stage.
Do you ever worry that you'll fall off the ramp?
No. Well, new fear unlocked. What about you, man? When do you feel more stressed?
Well, I have a few incidents where I've experienced stress, but in my job-wise, I feel like when we are on the ship, every moment is very stressful, especially when we are on duty and we are in the middle of heavy traffic, going through big storms. For those of you all who don't know, I work on ships, so yeah.
You might want to explain to them why there's traffic in the sea.
Because there are other ships, traffic, not vehicular traffic, shipping traffic.
Shipicular traffic.
So we need to not collide into them, and then we have these fishing boats, aka tuk-tuks of the sea. They think they can go asa-sa-sa inside in between. And then we can't see them. And then we're like, oh my God, I killed a fisherman.
That didn't happen though.
He pops out from the other side and is like, okay.
That didn't happen though.
Because you have a blind spot. There's a blind spot.
Almost got a confession on Yoshan.
Not killed anyone yet.
Episode 5, Yoshan goes to jail.
That'll be the name of the podcast. Stress, Yoshan going to jail.
Yoshan's still in jail.
Yeah, but other than that, in life in general, there has been the stressful moments. As an adult, you can feel it building up on you. I'm going to share 2 personal stories to you. And you tell me, if you were in that situation, which one would have been more stressful for you?
Okay.
And as the audience also, you can put in the comment which one would have been more stressful for you. Story number 1. I must have been around 15, 14 years old. A friend of mine, also around the same age, was like, "Machang, shall we dig a well?" In his bare land.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that sounds like a great idea. And we went. He paid us with lunch packets and a bottle of Coke. Equivalent to most payments that we get nowadays.
Right.
So we started digging and we went quite deep. It was about 6 or 7 guys. And we were looking. We didn't even know if there was water there. We just started digging a random spot.
Right.
And we went a certain distance and for some reason, when we were hitting the wall of that hole that we had created, we went through a soft spot and there was an old broken down septic tank next to it that was not fully fixed. And we managed to get that septic tank stuff into our hole. And the pressure of whatever was there came into where we were. We were now in the hole and we had a bamboo ladder, ladder made out of ropes and bamboo.
Right.
The pressure that came out, that ladder just like, you know what? Screw you guys. And we were like just in there. And like this, whatever the liquid was just filling in and it stinked so bad. Luckily, one of our friends was still up there.
Oh, right. Thank God. Okay.
He laughed for like half an hour. I mean, like any good friend would.
Yeah, understandable.
He laughed and then he ran and he got another ladder from somewhere, but he laughed for, I think, while we were climbing up also, he was laughing. But the stress at that moment was very high. The second story was, it happened much later. I think I must have been around 19, I have to say, because I went to a place where 19-year-olds can go.
Right. What is this place?
It's a place where you go, you need to show an ID and enter,
The library.
Something like the library, but instead of hard books, you have liquid in the cup. Yeah. Anyway, I went to one of these places.
Okay.
It's a...
The hospital.
Right. I went to one of these places and there was a lady and a couple of friends were eating on her. and they were trying to get her attention and all that, and her guy was there, and she was like, you know, I don't want to talk to these guys. These guys are troubling me. And the guy started fighting back.
Right.
So then around that time, I was starting to have some martial art obsession, and I had a pair of nunchucks in the car.
Okay.
I had just bought them. I had not tested them or anything. I didn't know how to use nunchucks. But I had a pair, and my friends were like, Macha, Macha, you had that nunchucks. Bring it in. We'll show these guys and we will fight them. And I run to the car. I get that nunchucks. I run back into the venue.
Right, the hospital.
The hospital. Right. And now these guys are now starting to hit on my friends, like physically beating them.
Okay, hit your friends.
Yeah, hit my friends. And I take the nunchucks and like, oh, you know, like a cowboy. The thing was heavy, but the chain that was connecting the nunchucks was made out of, I don't know, paper. Because the moment I did this, half of the nunchuck just flew out. I didn't know that I didn't have the half of the nunchuck. I just went walking in with the stick in my hand and chain. I'm like, ah, kind of a thing. I was like, the nunchuck got lighter. What happened? And then I looked to the side and I can see the other half of the nunchuck is like flying towards the bouncer. And it just smacked him straight in the face.
Oh, dude. Okay.
And next thing I know, I thought the bouncer was on our side. Initially, he was. But next thing I know, I saw his fist flying at my face. And I woke up back in my car like about 20 minutes later. So,
yeah.
In those two stories, which one would you say would have been more stressful?
I'm very concerned as to why there's a bounce in the hospital. But outside of that, I think I would prefer to get punched in the face than to be surrounded by literal shit.
We are assuming it's shit. We're not really sure what it was.
So gross, dude.
It just smells like it. It felt like it. We just assume it was.
That is disgusting.
Because we can't think of what else is worse than that.
No. I'd rather just get it done then and there itself, as opposed to having it just creep up my leg.
The moment we decided that we were going to talk about stress, this is the first two stories that popped up into my head.
These popped up.
Yeah, like these are the first two stories that popped up. I mean, that doesn't have to do anything with the shipping field.
Right.
When it comes to the shipping field, if you talk about stress, the most painful one was the storm that I went through.
Okay.
Where we had a very big storm. It was like very rough. We lost control of the ship and we were drifting. It was crazy. It was very stressful. So that was another incident altogether. But it's not a fun story. These two are fun stories.
That's an interesting take that you say that, man. Because I think as guys, we tend to deal with stress in both good ways and in bad ways. How do you think... I can't say... I don't know how chicks deal with stress. So, ladies, if you're watching, you can let us know.
Yes, please.
yes, please.
From what I know...
Ladies, if you're watching, say hi. Secondly, ladies, if you're watching...
From what I know, ladies yell at... me when they're stressed, like, Yosha, not again.
Okay, so basically, if a girl wants to de-stress, why don't you leave a number in the comments or something? And if you want to de-stress, you can always call Yosha and just yell at him. But outside of girls yelling at Yosha, how do you think guys deal with stress?
I think there's so many methods. I can talk about my methods, okay. Right? Sometimes when it's overwhelming, when the stress is too much,
right?
Yeah, we need to take a break.
Okay.
Like, see things from a different perspective, right? Take yourself out of that situation, reassess. Also, sometimes the stress is so much, you cannot even get yourself out of it. You just need to take a break.
Okay.
And for me personally, my most favorite way to cope up with stress is hang out with my friends.
Right.
You, there's a couple of other guys. I just go talk nonsense, laugh, you know, maybe watch a movie. I enjoy watching movies.
Right.
I love eating. I mean, I need to maintain the shape, you know.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
So those are my coping mechanisms, like my personal coping mechanisms. I cannot say if they're good or bad. I mean, what do you think? What do you feel?
I think that depends, man. I think a lot of people have the overeating, the binging when it comes to... It's stress eating, basically. And I think the second you let that as a vice get out of control, it's terrible for you. It's terrible for health. It's terrible in general because I do not know a person who goes through 3 tubs of ice cream, and at the end of it, they're like, oh man, I feel fantastic. I also think because of the internet and because there's so much information now, guys are starting to learn a bit more about how to cope with stress in a positive way. So, for example, I know for a fact that if I don't go work out early in the morning, get that sorted out, I know that it's going to be, the rest of the day is going to be very strenuous on me. So whatever issues I might have felt the previous day, I keep tiny bottles of it. And the second you get to gym, you release all that. That is what exercise means to me, at least. More than looking good, I think it's majorly a stress release. And I also found that the second you feel stressed, generally because my work entails mobile phones and stuff, if you can disconnect from the phone and just go out and maybe be with nature, look at a tree, but be with nature at least for a week, just go for a walk or something. The second you get yourself out of the environment that you feel that you're stressed in, that amount of stress just seems to like drastically go down. So I think
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like looking over a mountain from the balcony.
Unfortunately, you don't get that in Colombo, but
if you're from Noreli or Kandy, please call us.
Please. We'll do the next episode there.
If Takshi allows it.
you need Takshi there too. But yeah, man, yeah, and finally, I think guys are now starting to vent their stress in very creative ways, creative avenues. So personally, jamming, right? Music is a major outlet where you can just listen to, either you listen to, like you were saying, heavy metal music. That's your go-to, apparently.
No, it's not.
Yoshan's chilled out music is...
My chilled out music is Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Whitney Houston.
And heavy metal is great. I love it. But I think guys are now starting to venture down that avenue, trying to find the more creative aspects of how they can, without crashing and burning and doing something destructive or self-destructive.
I would say that is with the newer generation who are more accessing to information.
More educated.
Yeah, yeah. More educated in mental health.
Yeah.
I feel like still there is a portion of men who keep it in and...
bottle it up.
Yeah, and waiting for the moment to...
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like there's that two types of men out there, don't you?
No, absolutely. But then you have to be able to, like with all the information in the world out there right now, and it being literally available at your fingertips, if you don't find safe and non-destructive ways for you to vent whenever you feel stressed out, then the second something stresses you out, your immediate go-to would be something self-destructive, which does not solve the problem but amplify the problem more. So I would call that a bit of an almost silly or stupid thing to do. Because if you want to help yourself out of a problem, and generally it is only you who can pull yourself out of that problem, why not engage in something that will actually help as opposed to something that will... Like, as opposed to going and drowning your sorrows in a beer or something, if you can transmute whatever stress you have into either writing something or something creative or something in your field, I think that would translate to a bit more of a optimistic way or a better way of releasing that stress, as opposed to it being some that is again going to pull you back down.
So other than jamming and gymming, do you have anything else?
Outside of jamming and gymming, I like to take walks, man. But outside of jamming and gymming, man, I've been a big fan of this entire movement, I think, or this practice called Stoicism, which is one of the Roman practices. So the reason it's called Stoicism is because I think they used to basically discuss philosophies and theories on a stoa, which is like, I think it's basically a pillar or a stable or it's a bench or something. But the entire concept there is to understand emotions for it being an emotion and try to be as non-reactive to something as possible. And I've... Because life has maybe been so tumultuous, and maybe that is it, I've learned to take a very non-reactive approach to anything. And it's almost... it's almost mechanical to me, where if I realize that something is out of my control, I don't stress about it.
As an overthinker, I mean, I'm a certified overthinker. Out of control things are the things I think about the most.
Well, there you go.
So being mechanical towards situations, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Do you advise other people to do it?
100%.
For all situations?
All situations.
Really? Shouldn't emotion also come into play a factor when you make a decision?
That depends. If emotion's a factor, that will help your situation. Yes.
So it's not all situations.
But then more situations than not, I think, if you have the more logical approach, then maybe. Maybe that is just my being very myopic with it. But what I realized was every time I tried to think through emotion at a problem, it took me a long while to come to a solution, as opposed to me just thinking, okay, problem is A, solution is BC, I'm just going to do BC.
So you don't think about the multiple scenarios in your head, like if I do this, this will happen, if I do this, this will happen.
If I do this, this will happen, and I'm prepared for it, is generally the way it
goes. So you don't have like a multiple things that you could possibly, you already decided, this is it, this is what I'm going to do.
There's no parallel universe.
There's no parallel universe.
There's no, it's not parallel universe. What does Marvel have? The multiverse. There's no multiverse.
It's parallel, yeah, multiverse.
Yeah, it's the multiverse, no.
All right.
As an overthinker, do you think of the models?
I would say something to you, and I feel like that thing I said to you may have been offensive.
Right.
At that point, I won't think about it because I'm a guy who talks first, thinks later. Once I'm at home taking a shower, I'll be like, oh shit, I said that to the dude. Did it hurt his feelings? What is he going through right now? Maybe I should have said it like this. Maybe I should apologize.
Okay.
If I apologize, what would happen? But if I just, you know, remind him of it and just, you know, say it was a joke, what would happen?
Right.
Then I would be thinking about it. Like it'll keep me up all night sometimes. Like some minor thing. Because I overthink. And then when I actually go and tell him, bro, remember I said that, I'm really sorry. The bro guy, like, well, I don't remember you saying that even.
Right.
And I'll be like, I just wasted an entire night, you know. And that itself is a stress thing that I'm going through. I mean, I'm working on it. I have read some theories about overthinking. And understanding that if it's out of my control, that I should let go.
Right.
But that's the thing. Letting go of things that are out of my control is very difficult. Because usually, I want to control everything that's in my life.
Right.
I want everything to go...
You're a control freak.
I'm a control freak. I like when things go in a certain way. And when they go out of my way, it's kind of chaotic for me.
Okay.
So when something out of my hand happens, it triggers that overthinking. Like, oh shit, I should have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
And it's something that a lot of my friends, even my teachers, have said that I'm an overthinker.
Right.
And I have been working on it. I feel I'm much better now than when I was a teenager because I used to overthink a lot.
Right.
Like to the point where I was afraid to speak to people. Like when I feel that someone was hurt because of my words, instead of approaching it, I just avoid it.
Okay.
Because I'm afraid that if I speak to that person, I might offend that person more.
Even more, right.
Yeah, so I still have a bit of that where I'm scared to meet new people because, you know, some words that I say could hurt.
Right.
Maybe not hurt. Maybe that person will not like me. Maybe, you know. So overthinking is something that I've been working with. It has caused a lot of stress on me.
Right.
And again, I'm working on it. And if you guys have any ideas, advices.
Hi, Habibi.
Otto, na?
වැඩි කතරක් තමයි පේන්නේ. ඉතින් අපි මැයි 12 වෙනිදා ලා මකලෝකේ අරගෙන ඩුබායි වලට එනවා.
මැයි 12 හවස 7ට ඌද්මේතයක තමයි අපේ පර්ෆෝමන්ස් එක තියෙන්නේ.
අල් නසාර් ලෙෂර් ලෑන්ඩ් එකේ හවස 7ට තමයි පටන් ගන්නෙ. ඉතින් ඔයාලට ටිකට්ස් ගන්න පුළුවන් මේ දාන ෆ්ලයර් එකේ සහ අපේ Facebook page එකේ ස්පෙෂලි හසලගා අයියාගේ මගේ රවිදු අමේන්ද්‍ර ගිහිල්ලා ඉවරලා අපි ෆ්ලයර් එක දාලා තියෙනවා. රමේෂ්, තුලා, සංජීව එයාලගේ නම්බර්ස් දාලා තියෙනවා. ඒවට කතා කරලා WhatsApp කරලා ටිකට් බුක් කරගන්න පුළුවන්.
රමේෂ් කියන්නේ හොඳ කොමඩියන් කෙනෙක් තමයි සමහරවිට රමේෂ්ට කතා කළාම ආයි කොමඩියක් බලන්න ඕනේ නැහැ කියලා
හිතෙන්න පුළුවන්. අපි එමුනා ඩුබායි එනින්ද අඩුවතරමේ අපි බලන්නවත් එන්න.
රමේෂ් විතරක් බලන්න අතර වෙන්න
එපා. රමේෂ්ට කතා කරලා විතරක් අතර වෙන්න එපා.
අපි බලන්න එන්න.
සා මේ දවස්වල වැස්සත් වහිනවලු කියලා ආරංචි ඩුබායි
වල. ඔය අපි එනින්ද?
ඔව්. වැස්සයි හසයි කියන්නේ දෙකක් නෙමෙයි එකක්.
යන්න තැනක වහිනවා.
යන්නතර වහිනවා.
ඉතින් එන්න මේ මැයි 12 අපහු කියන්න මැයි 12 හවස 7ට මේ දවස්වල ඉරිදා දවසක් නේ
ඉරිදා දවසක්
උද්මෙතයිගේ
අල් නසාර් ලෙෂර්ලෑන්ඩ් එකේ
අල් නසාර් ලෙෂර්ලෑන්ඩ් එකේ උද්මෙතයිගේ තමයි ඒක තමයි හෝල් එක නේද
හෝල් එක
එතන තමයි වැඩේ තියෙන්නේ එහෙනම් එදාට එන්නකො මේ වැලි වැලි විසි වෙන්න hina වෙන්න
hina වෙන්න පුළුවන් වැලි කාලා විසි වෙන්න hina වෙන්න පුළුවන් එහෙනම් අපි එදාට හම් වෙනකම් ලා
මක්ලෝ
කේ
Let me know. What about you? What do you think?
I think it's also very ironic that you say that you're a control freak and therefore you overthink. Because I believe myself to be a control freak as well. And it is for that very reason that I want to control everything that I absolutely know that I can control. And anything that is not out of my control has no control.
I try to control that also.
That,
if it's out of my control, terrible. I will control
that
you.
That is terrible control. Do not do that.
I will control you.
But if you really are a control freak, and I think one of the reasons why I stopped drinking and smoking is also because once you're inebriated, you can't control yourself. So you say the stupidest thing and do the stupidest things. So I was such a control freak, and I am, that I want to make sure that anything that is in my control, I will control. And I know that there is a finite amount of things that are in my control, that I can absolutely control. Anything outside of that is not my monkey, not my circus.
That is a very healthy way to look at it. And I hope that one day I can look at it that way.
We'll
I
really do that, yeah.
This coping mechanism, do you think there's a bad type of coping, like things that will make it worse? Do you think there's some bad mechanisms like that?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think, especially when it comes to binge eating and getting into alcohol and drugs, these are... And it is to say that, oh, Matang, it's okay. It's been a long day. We should go for a beer. Maybe as long as it is done in moderation, maybe there's no harm. But my personal belief is one leads to another, and then another drink and another drink. And by the time you're done, you've hit the bouncer in a hospital with the nunchuck, and now that guy's knocked you out into your car. That could have all been avoided if you just weren't there in the first place.
I mean, I was sober when it happened, just so you know.
I think there's quite a few negative ways to emote that stress. But it is also a fact now that this generation, which is the Gen Z, is drinking far less than, we'll say, your grandfather or my grandfather or their fathers used to. Do you think stress was more of an issue now to the people who live or to the people who live back then? I'm not talking about like, you know, like 200 years ago where there's like a saber-tooth tiger, whatever it is. I'm talking about literally, let's say your grandfather's time.
I would say stress has always been there.
Right.
And stress is kind of a reaction where our body's like, we need to live.
Right.
We're about to die. Do something. Yeah. Back in the day, also stress was there. Like, for example, there was less technology. People go to work. We don't know if they'll ever come back.
Right.
It came to the point where, you know, sometimes it's a real thing. A lady is married to two men because of the mortality rate.
Right.
It was very high. Like, sometimes your husband doesn't come home. So who's going to look after the kids, you know? So those stress factors were there. They may have had good food. They may have had healthy food.
Right.
But was it enough to feed everyone? People were in the queues, so that stress factors were there. But in comparison to now things are happening very fast.
Right.
Right? And the body is not evolved to match the speed of things that are happening.
When you say things are happening very fast, what are you talking about?
Like, for example, you have a job.
Right.
You have a deadline.
Right.
The deadline's now. And then when you finish that deadline, the next job is coming.
Okay.
And the next job is coming. And then your boss is like, you go home, you're still doing the work. You're not going to hang out with your kids or wife, right? Or maybe you are in debt, right? To cover that debt, you get another debt because financially you're not getting the money.
Right.
Yeah, so now because of this fast-growing economy and fast-growing technology and how fast-paced everything is,
right,
we have created this stress that is far more stronger and than it was back then.
Right.
Right. Back then, stress was still there. But I feel like it wasn't as difficult as it was now,
right,
as it is now. Right. Maybe we could get to our fact-check lady. Maybe she can tell us more about it.
Hi, guys.
That's
it's me, Shali.
She's our fact-check lady for the night.
So, basically, there was a paper discussed by the American Psychologist Association.
They live next
where door. They did a study, and they asked 1,400 adults, and they collected this data in 1997.
Right.
And they conducted the same study in 2012, where they interviewed adults from both categories. So there were people from ages 45 to 64 and more young adults as well,
right,
who were like in their 30s. The results suggested that...
Wait, let drum roll.
Okay.
What drum is that?
that was the cymbals, okay?
Vaishali has never seen drums in her life.
No, that's the cymbals.
That's like, biscuit kuru drum.
Okay, anyway, the studies were that stress levels are higher in the 2010s compared to the 1990s.
Right, so stress is at an all-time high.
Yes.
Because in 1990s, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and Sylvester Stallone movies.
If we're doing another Rocky thing, I swear I'm going to walk off this bloody set. Okay, Yoshan... What are stress feelings?
I have no idea.
Fantastic. Fact check girl, you want to hit us with some stress feelings.
So stress feelings are usually ones of depression, anxiety, sometimes anger,
right,
sometimes even elating. Elating means that it leads to like the stressful coping mechanisms you mentioned.
Right.
It is indulging in external substances to give you that euphoric feeling.
Right.
So it's an escape mechanism.
Like eating.
Yes.
Yes.
Taking drugs.
Right.
Which is very bad. Don't do it.
Yes. Do not do drugs.
Why did you think?
I want to think that a good drug. I was like, that's not a good drug.
That's no good drug. Don't. If you feel like you need to take drugs to cope up with your stress, please speak to someone. Don't do it.
The same, Yoshan will keep a number in this comment. So the ladies will call and then men through Yoshan. No, it won't men actually. They'll be yelling at Yoshan. If you want to talk to your somebody, you can always talk to Yoshan as well. So the guys can call Yoshan, girls will call Yoshan too.
Yeah, we all can call Yoshan. Yes, and what about, do you have escape while watching something? Do you have any shows that you enjoy watching that makes you stress free?
Yes, I actually do, man.
Tell the audience what's your favorite.
What I tend to watch is a bunch of YouTubers who exclusively almost play Pokemon games and go by the title of PokerTubers. And it's just watching them play that little game. And
shout out to PokerTubers.
To Shady and Luke and all those guys.
Hi, Shady and Luke.
But the reason is because I realized... retrospectively, I used to play Pokemon games way when I was smaller, and to me, playing that game brings back a time where things weren't as complicated or stressed out. So every time I watch these guys put together this cool but also silly animals.
And when you say cool, why did your voice change?
Cool, because they're really cool sometimes.
Like,
sometimes they're really
cool
Pokemon, man. I think I'm taken back, or I'm transported back to a time where life really wasn't that stressful.
I have something to say about that too.
What is it?
But you're going to hate it.
What is that?
You see, I enjoy watching old films, such as the film that you hate, because it takes me to a time when things were less stressful. Even music.
Oh,
okay. Even music,
right,
like old music, music from the 80s, 90s. I mean, I was not...
Like the Rocky theme song.
Rocky theme song.
Rocky 2 theme song.
Oh my god.
The Rocky 3 theme
song. Don't say Rocky 4.
No, I'm not going to.
Rocky 4 theme song.
Rocky 4 theme song is shit.
We'll have a talk after the podcast. But yeah, it's true. When you watch things that have been linked to your childhood,
yeah,
things that you enjoyed as a kid, when you watch them as an adult, it kind of connects you to that time when things were not as bad.
Yeah.
Like when you watch older films, like even Jurassic Park or any of those older... What is the classic film that you enjoy?
Damn it.
101 Dalmatian.
No.
Sleeping Beauty.
No. White Castle.
White Castle. Okay.
Great movie.
It's a fantastic movie. Superb. Superb movie. Excellent. that film is the definition of how to avoid stress.
Absolutely. Go eat a burger.
I might.
All right, Simon. You said that when it comes to coping mechanisms, you go to your friends. Is there any particular reason that you go to a select bunch of friends, or is it just...
Well, the friends need to vibe. Like this. Sorry? We need to vibe.
Oh, vibe, right.
What did I say?
We need to whine. I was like, oh, that's the worst thing you can do.
Vibe.
Right.
So, the friends need to vibe. And right now, I vibe with like two or three people like properly.
Right.
We need to have like a frequency. I don't know, like... I crack the joke. Sometimes before I even crack the joke, you already know what the joke's going to be. You're already laughing. Nobody else in the table will get it because you know exactly how I'm thinking.
Okay.
And sometimes when you say something, before you say it, I know exactly, you know, what kind of thing, what's the idea you're bringing into the table.
Right.
So I need that chemistry, that connection. And for that few moments, you know, that all that stress is put to a side. And for that few moments, you just connected with a friend.
Right.
And we're just sharing a good laugh. Also, that stress, I can share with you.
Right.
That burden, you know, I can be like, bro, check it out. I'm having this problem. And you can be either the listener or the problem-solving person.
Right.
You can be either. But then again, you have to understand, people from my generation, the older 80s boys.
They're from the same generation.
Yeah, but you seem to be connected to the younger generation somehow. The older generation, the generation where we were taught to rub dirt on it, walk it off, you know. I don't know if you experience that.
Rubbing dirt and walking.
Yeah, like when you fall, when you scratch your knees, everyone's like, ah, just rub some dirt on it. Or when you twist your ankle, they're like, just walk it off, you know?
It's terrible advice.
Yeah, so when we are from that kind of a background, expressing ourselves, expressing emotions is very difficult. And I feel that's another reason why men can get stressed out. Like, for example, there's an argument. Instead of saying, dude, I'm pissed off with you, they keep it inside.
Right.
Right? And then they go home and they're like, ah, I can feel it. No, and it builds up. Right?
Right.
Instead of expressing exactly what is the emotion you require, you just keep it in you.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you were talking about hugs. Yeah. I think you were talking about hugs with me. Why I don't really enjoy hugs. Well, the reason is, again... Hugs is something I feel like it makes me very vulnerable when I hug someone.
Oh, the men's circle thing.
The men's circle thing.
So we went, for context, we went to a men's circle, and towards the end of that, it's a bunch of guys that get together and talk about problems and stuff. And towards the end of that, Yoshan and I were asked to face each other and talk, and if we had something to say something, and towards the end of that, we were asked to hug. Which I was completely okay with. Yoshan felt very uncomfortable doing. Yes, Yoshan, go.
Yeah, so I hugged.
One hug, dude. I've known this man for about 20 years now. But yeah.
Yes.
I hugged.
Yeah, so my point here is the inability to express our emotion. And showing that emotion can cause stress also. And I feel a lot of people do feel that.
Right. But then you know that that's an unhealthy thing.
It is. I know. That's why it's from recently only I've started to understand that.
From the men's circle.
From the men's circle, from hanging out with you and hanging out with other healthy, emotionally healthy people. I have started to understand things and try to have a perspective. Yes, Rishali, something you want to say?
Like me?
She's emotionally fragile.
If I
sneeze, she will start crying.
Hey, yeah. But I will say I get 4 pats from Yoshan every time he comes to gym.
Yeah,
it started at 3.
That doesn't need context.
Please, Samantha, before someone arrests me.
So,
hi, Yoshan's wife. what he means is, so Yoshan very begrudgingly gives people hugs, if at all. I've gotten one in my life. Rishali gets one every day in the morning because Rishali is like, oh my god, hi!
I love hugs.
So Yoshan does that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And I just linger there just to see if I can get an extra one out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it should like end, you know, like why is it not ending?
Because it can't be just...
Go. What's the sign? What's the universal language to stop the hug?
Rishali, when do you stop hug?
She doesn't.
When the pressure slowly starts easing.
There is no pressure.
So it's usually like 5 seconds. You just hug someone, you're like, okay.
So she wants five pats.
What?
You want 5 pats because 4 pats is 4 seconds.
No, okay. Technically, if you are really stressed out, and scientifically speaking, to release oxytocin into the system, which is the hug...
What is oxytocin?
Hug hormone.
Sounds something that... You can buy it from the shelf?
You can buy it from the shelf. Apico has it. But also, if you want to just naturally release it, you need to either kiss your significant other for 6 seconds or you need to hug the last 20 seconds. So, Rishali, 20 seconds.
20 seconds it is.
That's hell, man. You know what? I'll just go to Apico.
3, 4, 5, 6.
I go to Apico. Do you hug people for 20 seconds?
No. I do the bro thing. It's like, and that.
Why doesn't she do that with me?
Because she's a girl, dude.
But does she do the bro thing with you?
Yeah.
So why she doesn't do the bro thing with me?
Because I love you, Yoshi.
And she doesn't love you.
She loves me. But she also knows deep down inside pisses you off.
That's what I get early in the morning. 5:30 in the morning in the gym, she just wants to piss me off. And now there's other people there who also saw Rishali hugging. Now they also feel the need to hug.
Who?
Like other people in the gym.
Class random.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Yoshan anyway gets all the hugs anyway. But see, the thing is this, right? You said that in your generation, being seen as somebody who voices their emotions is you being seen as somebody who's weak. Is that you taking... being emotional as a weakness or being emotional as something that strengthens you?
Honestly, I'm not sure, because when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure I was very emotional. I cried, I laughed, I probably expressed myself. And people around me must have been like, no, don't, stop, that's not right.
Right.
And maybe I was someone who enjoyed hugs younger, right. And maybe they were like, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. And it kind of hardened me. And made me feel like, okay, this is the norm.
Right.
Right? So then it came to a point where when my other friends get together and we talk about emotions, you get laughed at.
Right.
You show your vulnerability, you get mocked at, you get bullied. Right? So then it came to the point where, all right, if I don't show these vulnerabilities, if I don't show these emotions, you know, I'll be the main guy. You know? Right. And usually from my experience, nobody really cares about the guy's emotions. A chick can be like, oh, I'm having a bad day. There'll be like a million people to talk to her and listen to her. But for a guy, I feel like it's much less, close to in the single digits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so those are things that can build stress in a guy.
Right.
Because there's no one to talk to. Even sometimes people close to him. Could be a friend. It could be the brother, sister, parents. No one's going to listen. The difference is if you're a chick, if you're a daughter, you go to your dad. Most likely he's going to listen. I go to my dad, he'll be like, who are you? Yeah, so emotionally, I was told from a young age, I'm not sure, but this is what I believe, was told, no, don't show it, keep it in.
Right.
If you show it, you're going to be open to ridicule. If you show it, people are going to throw it back at you at some point.
Right.
And then it built up, there was a lot of stress involved. I don't know if you know, when I was younger, I got into a few fights. I had to go for therapy at some point because of these fights. So that was a whole thing. But it built up the stress. But at that point, I didn't know this was stress.
Right.
I just thought that I was angry.
Right.
But okay. Now when I look at it now, I'm like, okay, that's just stress building up inside. And so it's something that I'm working on. And
okay.
I think I'm much better than what I was. I don't know. I feel 4 pats, it's a long...
It's a whole 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But do you think this stress molded you into being the person you are right now? And if so, do you like the person you see when you look at the mirror?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I have a lot of things to do to improve myself.
Right.
I mean, I'm far from the person I would be proud to be.
Okay.
But I'm working on it and I'm happy that I am.
Right.
I mean, I'm not like, oh, I will not change. I see the benefit in expressing myself now.
Right.
I see the benefit in hug here and there. It's just that it'll take time. It's not an overnight thing, you know. I feel like at some point I'll be like, okay, this is good.
Right.
But I'm still working towards it. It's not like I've given up, you know. Like, now you're a guy who likes to give hugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to express yourself.
Right.
You don't? Do you?
I do.
You like when you're angry, you say, I'm angry. When you are feeling sad, do you express yourself?
That's not to the closest extent you seem to go to, but not to the open extent of, attention everybody, I am sad now. Not that either.
That's like someone I know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Who is that? Resh, is that you? Did he just mock you?
No. She's about to cry right now.
That is called emotional fragility.
I'm working on it, okay?
She needs to put a lot of duct tape.
coming back to this, man, I don't think that I, again, emote as much because I very strongly believe that might not solve a problem. So I'd much rather listen to somebody else's problems. So maybe on a certain level, I can understand where you come from. Where I believe that if I'm arguing with my significant other or my mother or somebody, I would rather listen to their point of view and see how I can adjust things to make both our parts meet, as opposed to me coming and saying, so I meet you here, you need to meet me here, and the both of us working on it. I carry that burden to believe that, hey, so this person is incapable of change. I have to do what I have to do to make sure that this works, so that it works for them and it works for me as well. And I shoulder that burden and I just keep going that way. So I won't emote as much. I will talk to them and say, this is terrible behavior. I don't approve this at all. But at the same time, I will also work more and expect more out of me to bring about change, as opposed to expecting that person to change. That's the way I see it. And that could, again, be attributed to the fact that I was brought up in an environment where I was forced to come up with solutions for myself, and also being very almost android-like with my approach, where it's very closed off, where there is problem, solution, and nothing much in between. And even if there was not something in between, that would be more or less like a waste of time.
Okay. I have something to ask you about your career shift, right?
Yes.
From being on an airline to modeling.
Oh.
When you were doing that shift, the amount of stress that you feel, the amount of stress you felt, did you feel anything? Like, I would have been going crazy. Am I doing the right thing? Or I just want to know the stress aspect, nothing else. Like,
there is always a stress of, I mean, especially when it comes to modeling, it's that you get gig and then a pause and then a gig, and sometimes it's gig and then a pause, and sometimes it's just a long pause. Coming back to tell my mother that no worry, it's gonna work out, even though she's harping on the fact that aparade, why did you leave that job, it was paying so well, and I know you're a bit upset about it, but still they paid the bills, you got to go to other countries and shop and see and eat and all that. Having to put
up. Did you just imitate all Sri Lankan mothers in one go?
Hello. Hello, brown aunties. It is that having to be that face of absolute confidence saying, no, it's going to work out, don't worry. So that I can reassure not only her and my dad, but so that when I look at myself in the mirror, I have to be able to make myself understand that I made the right move for myself was immensely hard, because there was nothing to back it up with except for good feeling and hope that maybe I'll get another gig. It was true that it was in a time where as a model I was starting to emerge, so there would be gigs, but it's a very on off business. You would have one or two TV commercials a month, if that. And waiting in between TV commercials was a long wait. So Vietnamese would come and say, you okay? Do you need money? And all that. I was like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. When you know whatever small reserves you had is quickly depleting, was very tough.
So financially, that's where the stress is.
Financial stress.
That's the point I want to bring up next. Men usually feel like when they have the finances,
right?
Like when they have the money, that stress reduces significantly.
When they have finances, when stress goes down.
Yeah, right. Like when they have the money to back them up.
Right.
The moment they, you know, they have lost the job or they are trying to figure things out, or when that money is not there, there's a whole another level of stress. Your family's depending on you, your wife's depending on you, kids depending on you, you know?
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, that level of discomfort is immense.
Right.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but it's very strong. Like, I've taken a long break from sailing.
Right.
So I haven't had a proper income in a while. I've been doing things here and there. I'm managing to stay afloat.
Right.
But that stress of not having that support in the bank, you know, that money, you know, you go to the ATM and you're like, oh my God, do I have it? Do I don't not have it? You know, did they pay me on time? You know,
right.
That stress is insane. What is the mechanical approach to that?
I would say the mechanical approach to stress coming from the fact that you don't know when your next gig is going to come forces you to find an alternative avenue that you know would work to find you some sort of income. It is generally when your back is against the wall that the true animal comes out.
Right? True.
It was, people say it was Robin Williams, man, who said it, but I'm not too sure.
Fact check.
What is the
Robin saying? Williams said something on the lines of, it is a broken heart, an empty wallet, and a third thing. That are the major motivational factors for a man to get his shit together.
That's true.
So,
I mean, I don't know if Robin Williams said it, but the things you said is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody says it, apparently. But the last time I read it was Robin Williams, apparently.
There's that other thing, you know, great times create weak men. Weak men creates bad times.
Bad times create strong men.
It's a cycle thing.
Yeah, yeah. But personally, man, I think it is the fact that either if you are in a situation where you feel there's nothing you can do and you don't know when finances are coming up, you find something else that you know that you can do.
Are you about to quote Rocky?
Good God, no. All right? But I don't know. I think it's like you will get circumstance will come and hit you in the face. But it's not about how many times you get hit. I've also seen that quote too many times. All right? But coming back to this, it is generally when your back is against the wall that you choose to rise up. So I'm going to come out here and say, I believe that stress is a good thing, right? It can make or break you, but that depends on the individual. If you believe that you're strong enough to overcome and you're resilient enough to overcome stress that will push you down, you will somehow make it work.
Like a perspective of how you see it. Is this is going to screw me or am I going to build from this?
It's going to screw me or do I screw it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Screwing stress sounds great.
Right. What is your take?
Use protection, please.
Yeah, sure. What have we got to do, man? But do you think stress is a good thing or a bad thing?
Again, like the whole conclusion we came together.
Right.
It's about the perspective, I feel.
I thought strong. You want to quote the rest of the Rocky thing, man?
I would love to quote the rest of the Rocky thing.
Go for it. If you get it wrong, though, Shark.
I'm going to get it wrong.
Then no point, Mashak. All right? All that preaching. Oh, I love Rocky. The one line that he says over and over and over and over again.
I'm going to get
it wrong. I'll give you two tries.
No, I'm going to get it wrong.
Try. I shall get the words right.
This is stress. This is what stress is. Yeah, it's the perspective. It's all about the perspective, as you said. How you look at it and how you cope. Whether you have a good coping mechanism, good friends.
Right.
And that oxytocin thing, you know, if you go to Apico and get a couple of hits.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to them. I'm definitely going to. I'll be like, I am an oxytocin gram dekha.
Oxytocin gram dekha?
Yeah. I don't know how they sell it.
I think you need a bit more than 2 grams.
I mean, I don't want to overdose.
Oh, overdose and oxytocin. No, because it's very interesting that Rishali brought up the fact that there was a study done in the States where people who viewed stress as a bad thing were more likely to die as opposed to people who are actually more stressed than those people.
So you mean by like viewing?
Just thinking that stress is a bad thing.
Like a placebo thing?
More or less. Okay. They would think that having stress in life is a terrible thing. They are more, they are 43%?
43%.
43% more likely. more likely to die as opposed to people who are actually more burdened with stress but view stress as a positive thing. And therefore, that made stress the 15th most likely way that somebody would die in the States, which is what, 20,000 deaths per year.
Yes.
I have something, this is not something that we discussed earlier. What about stress in Sri Lanka? Like, is it something we address it or is it something ignored? You know, mental health is not a very strong thing here. It's not really addressed. I mean, now they have started to.
Mm.
But I don't feel like it's addressed enough.
Maybe towards the Colombos, where people do have access to, and they do watch international content. But I don't think mental stress is something that's given wide recognition to when you go towards the rural areas. Which is why a major props to any company and organization who's actually trying to promote it to those companies. But again, like you said, I don't think a lot of people actually consider that to be a stress. I think what they do is they generally try to sweep it under a rug and say, look, either you're a man, right, and you have to do it.
That's the thing I grew up from.
Right. Or you're a woman, you have obligations. Your job is to be the mother or provide for the family, I guess. Suck it up. Right? I don't think people have a choice.
So they tell women to suck it up?
I don't know, Yashan. Have you ever come up with this situation?
I didn't know you said they tell people to suck it up.
I'm saying I assume that is what is being said in these areas.
He assumes.
Right. Unless you know what they say.
I have no idea what they say.
Well.
But I didn't make assumptions.
Right. You know what, Yashan, you're right. I have no idea what they say. Maybe they say that, maybe they don't. I am thinking maybe some families down the line might say that.
Okay.
Happy. You want to quote the rest of the Rocky line?
No.
No, okay. What an ass. Okay. What has been the most stressful event in your life?
I would say that the storm that I went through when I was working on the ship. We had no control of anything.
Right.
For a couple of days, I would say.
Okay.
And at one point, we were so helpless, like out of control. We had nothing to do. We just waited for the storm to stop. And then we got, like, we had our engines, but they were not strong enough for the weather.
Right. And what was the thing that you were most afraid of losing?
I was just afraid that I would never see my kid again. That's like the thing I was thinking of most of the most. But we got through it as a team. We had a very good team. We got help from the shows. They helped us. There was a lot of help.
Right.
We got out of it. No, not much of a damage, but we survived. But that was the time when I really felt what proper stress was.
Okay.
So, but what about you? More stressful? Is it this moment?
No. I was about to say something absolutely terrible, but I'll leave it for another day. I think with regards to the job changes and the uncertainty that comes with that, mainly because the line of work I do does not guarantee cash. It's either you go and make a name for yourself out there, or everything crashes and burns. It's your fault. And then do you revert back into going and doing something that you swore you never do? Do I go back into 9-to-5 and sell my soul for that corporate nonsense? It is all those what's and ifs and buts that used to keep me up at night. But again, man, I think it comes back down to how much of it are you willing to actually put yourself through, and are you willing to see it through? Because if you are, there are very few things that actually get in the way of you trying. So I very sincerely believe that I'm going to make it through. And just charge through that storm.
That's a very positive way to look at it. Very positive. And I hope everyone tries to get a positive perspective on things. Mm. Sometimes things can be really bad. And I understand that you feel like you need to see it negatively. But then you take a break, walk out of the situation, try to see it from an outside perspective.
Right.
And then see that, you know, this can be a good thing.
Right.
This can be something we can talk about and laugh about later. Right? Like some now, whatever these incidents that we have experienced now, when I started the podcast, I was talking about that well and that nunchuck thing. Now I can laugh about it.
Right.
But at that point, it was like so stressful, you know?
Right.
So it's all about the perspective of looking at how things are at that point and feeling that, you know, right, this is the situation now. I'm going to face it. I'm going to be positive about it. You know, the moment you become negative, as you said, you're going to die young.
Yeah.
If you think that you have the stress, you're going to die young. I mean, if that's what your life goals are.
Right. To die young. No, man. So it's very interesting that you said that because from what I know, and it's scientifically backed, that it is the respond mechanism. Yes. So that's a three-step process that Rishali will now teach us. But Rishali?
The respond mechanism is basically, it tells you usually when there's a stressful event that occurs, usually our first instinct is to react. That is reacting with emotion. However, the respond mechanism encourages you to take a step back and evaluate this problem and to understand if it is something within your control or if it's something out of your control.
Right. Sorry?
And the next step is...
That's a three-step process. Rishali, now this is the first step. Second step, Rishali?
Numero uno.
Rishali, what about staying in the present?
So the next step is staying in the present moment. Uh-huh. So I would say ideally, you need to focus on your five senses, your body mainly. When you focus on your five senses, because it's such a tactile thing, so touch, you can actually see things visually, you can hear things, you can smell things. When you are more in the moment, or mindful rather, you become more present in whatever situation you are in, as opposed to thinking about the future or the past events. Right. And what's the third step, Amanda?
Third step, a person who's doing a college degree.
Is being kind to yourself, is being compassionate to yourself. Usually when certain things happen, even if they're within our control or outside of our control, our first reaction is to blame ourselves.
Right.
So the respond mechanism, it teaches us to be compassionate.
Blame yourself.
No.
See you in me.
Guys, please don't listen to them. It encourages you to be compassionate to yourself and to take care of yourself so that you know that you've got this. Despite the odds, you are your best friend.
Right.
So, did we get scolded from the voiceover lady?
Yes.
So in a nutshell, how do you, Ryoshan, deal with stress?
None of those three steps. That's why I'm doing it wrong.
Right.
But that's the thing, right? It's because we don't know these solutions that we go for maladaptive solutions such as drinking or binging movies or whatever.
She said your thing was stupid.
I never said it was good.
The movie thing?
Yeah, I never said it was good.
Oh, well, okay. All right, then I guess we can call today's episode.
There was one... Yes, all three voices. Voiceover lady, tell us.
I would also like to preface this. So when you are stressed, the hormone that gets released is cortisol. But a study that Kelly McGonigal did said that oxytocin gets released. Amanda, you seem to be talking about oxytocin quite a bit.
Yeah, the hug hormone.
Yes. So it is commonly known as the hug hormone. But also what oxytocin does, it helps you to reach out to close friends. I.e. in a time of stress, it encourages you to go and seek help from people or either vent or seek assurance from the close circle.
Right.
Therefore, you can mitigate that stress.
This is why...
Like
that,
Yoshi said...
That system doesn't work in me.
No, Yoshi, you basically said it. You go and speak to your close circle
of
friends.
But I'm not talking about the problem. We're just talking...
You don't have to talk about the problem, right?
She said that I'm seeking out comfort with...
Yes, but then by associating your close friends, you seek their comforts, whether you're making a joke, whether you're going for swimming, or you're just... You need...
So you don't have to address the problem.
You don't necessarily have to address the problem. You have to be in the...
Present moment.
I'm normal.
Not really. He's jaded and broken, but we're still working on it.
So that's it then from my side.
And we will see you guys
in a few days.
In the next episode.
That's so bro.
That was absolutely so, bro. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please do share this with your friends. If you think that they might be going through a stressful situation, you can skip across to that part that Charlie said that actually helps out and maybe help somebody out, man. Because you don't know how far down the line somebody is when they're stressed out, and if push comes to pull, what extent to destruction that stressful situation might lead to. So in essence, you might be actually almost saving somebody's life if you choose to act now. So if you are stressed out, please do reach out to somebody who can actually help out. If you know somebody who is stressed out, try to talk to them or redirect them somebody who can help. And you can always send this and share this with as many people as you like, because maybe somebody who you might not know might be going through a situation can use the information that was provided here to help them out.
That's so, bro. That's a wrap. Episode number 4.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you in the next one.